Praise the Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time we've had with you so much today, oh God. And even our time, Lord, remembering your korban, your sacrifice, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Joshua, Aaron, again, I know Sean already mentioned it, and we're just going to keep emphasis only 1 week away. He'll not be here for the morning service, but we're going to have a very powerful service next Shabbat morning. But then the evening will be Joshua Aaron in concert. Remember, if you don't know his music, go on. Is it on YouTube? I'm sure it's everywhere. You know, go on and hear some of Joshua Aaron. It's great for families, great for children. So I know I've already told people that haven't ever been here before. I said, bring your children. You know, they'll be greatly. Your whole family will be greatly blessed. But bring everybody. and then the year ended, but already we're in another year. But I have to tell this story. A visitor to Israel attended a recital and concert at the Moskowitz Auditorium. He was quite impressed with the architecture and the acoustics, and he inquired of the tour guide. He said, "Is this magnificent auditorium named after Chaim Moskowitz, the famous Talmudic scholar?" "No," replied the guide. "It's named after Sam Moskowitz, the writer." "Never heard of him," said the visitor. "What did he write?" "A check," replied the guide. So as we pray about possibly having a future temple, our own temple and community center in Nashville, pray about that. And perhaps you regret not giving much in 2016. We do not send out appeals and all this and matching funds and all that stuff. We don't do that. And I understand that a lot of organizations, you know, have to do that. Whatever God leads each one to do. But you do have an opportunity. You can sponsor the very first Messianic Jewish temple in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. So pray about that. Just contact us contact the office, and if you have any, you want to donate land or donate a building. I know Rabbi Andy Meyerson is in Carolina somewhere. He was just at the rabbis conference that we were at last week. Frances is sick, by the way, today, so if she seems, it's not that she's being unfriendly, she doesn't want to get you sick. So she's not going around greeting everybody today, but she still wanted to be here. And I pray, we just prayed, and I believe she'll be healed better by the end of the day. Was I going to say? Oh yeah, and we saw an email that when Andy Meyerson, Rabbi Andy, got back from the conference, they were given a church and campus and everything. It was waiting when he got back. It was amazing. And we're believing that. I know Teresa believes that. Many believe that that's God's going to do that, you know, some miracle way that we can have our own campus and own, and there will be a pickleball court on that. We're going to put one on there when we get, but get everybody active and healthy. So we are 501c3, so any donation, of course, is, whatever the word it is. So those of you that, those of you that have artistic talents can also use them to beautify our present meeting place. I would love to see this more beautiful than it is. So if you have artistic, you know, those kind of talents, I would love to have a nice Hebrew banner and some nice beautiful things. You know, Francis did this 20 years ago? Francis made this 20 years ago or more. So there is stuff and a new sign. We want to have a new sign out front. So if you have those skills, again, contact us and give them to the Lord and then use them to glorify him in our community to make us a better, you know, testimony to our people and to all the neighborhood and area. So praise the Lord. So we're going to just, right now, Jason's sick and Francis sick. I'm not going to have them share unless she wants to anything about the conference, but I didn't think they were just at. So pray for Jason's healing too. I got hit when I was there, and it was definitely a spiritual attack as well, you know, physically, but it was spiritual. It was definitely from the enemy. I was at the conference. I'm fine now, but it seems to always often happen when we're down there. Pray for, we have seven we've sent to the Arch Conference, the Leadership Summit. Seven of our young people, our young adults, and they're now with a very young couple, Owen and Mary Harvey, as well. They're with two, and so they're going to be over there. They're going to be there for this weekend, and they're going to come back, I know, with much. But let's hear just a minute of this song as we talk about who we are and where we're going.
See, but you can smell and the sound of waves crash down. I am no Superman. I have no reasons for you. I am no hero, oh, that's for sure. But I do know one thing. It's where you are, it's where I belong. To know where you go is where I wanna be. Where are you going? Where do you go? Are you looking for answers to questions under the stars? Well, if along the way you are growing weary, you can rest with me. Till a brighter day, and you're okay. I am no Superman. I have no answers for you.
Okay, just thought we'd hear a little of that. Dave Matthews Band. So I want to talk about who we are and where we are going. Did you know that each of us, Dr. Rick, tell me if this is right. Tell us if this is right. Each of us were granted approximately 42,048,000 heartbeats in 2016. Is that about right? About right. That's about right. All right. So, how about, I heard that stat at the conference I was just at. So, how about 2017? You know, we don't know, right? But we pray that we'll, by God's grace, we'll be granted the same. That it'll, we'll be here for that whole year. And what is our mission at Cold OD? What is our, you know, our, when we say mission, our calling, our purpose, our goal, our pursuit, what are we really all here for? Why do we exist? And there's two questions, basically, I'd like to answer. One is, and this is one question, who are we and why are we? That's one question, somehow. Who are we and why are we? And this I can answer at least in part myself here this morning. But the second question is, where are we going and how do we get there? And for this question, we need God's help and we need your help to answer it, because we answer it really together. Our mission statement is this. It's on the bulletin. I think we might need to change it a little bit, and on the website. This is really what it is: growing as a spiritual family in the knowledge and love of God. Let's say that together. Growing as a spiritual family in the knowledge and love of God through the Hebrew scriptures and faith in Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And it's, secondly, it's bringing new life in Yeshua to the house of Israel and to all nations. Now, I'm going to, those verses that are down, so go, growing and being. Growing and bringing, rather, and we are a family, a mishpacha. Let's say mishpacha. Mishpacha is the Hebrew word for family. Mishpucha is Yiddish, same word, but Yiddish in Hebrew. But mishpacha would be Hebrew. Now I want to read these verses. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and onward, it says that, it says, and you, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through the Messiah Yeshua. So here we are, a holy priesthood. We're coming. He was rejected. And guess what? We're following him. Don't be surprised if we are also rejected. Not always, hopefully, but at times it's part of the calling. It's part of the what you sign up for when you trust to follow, when you follow the Messiah. If it doesn't happen, if you're never persecuted, there's something wrong, to be honest. I mean, you know, he said you'll be hated. You know, it's going to happen at times if we stand for the truth and if we walk with him, follow him. Doesn't mean we respond like. We respond in God's love but stand in who we are. So we're built up a spiritual house as a holy priesthood, but then we're also a royal priesthood. Notice verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. A kohanim would be the Hebrew word for priesthood. Kohen is the word for priest. A holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And as a royal priesthood, notice, it says that so that you may proclaim, and the Greek is, you know, to tell out, to proclaim or tell out the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So as a royal priesthood, we proclaim. You know, we're called to bring the good news, to proclaim the word, to share our testimony, to share the Yeshua with the world. And it's really him that it's all about. It's Yeshua. And I'll mention more about that. But, you know, in Psalm 133, verse 1, the song we sing, of course, every Jew knows it, every believer who's in Messianic word knows. Hine matov umanaim shevet achim gam yachad. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers or brethren, or brothers and sisters, really, to dwell together as one. Gam yachad. It really could be also with the one. We dwell with the Lord, and we dwell as one. We are echad, gam yachad, rather. We're in unity. Yeshua said, "When you are one," remember him praying in his high priestly prayer as our Kohen Gadol in John 17, before he went to the cross and died, he prayed that we would be one for the future, his present, and then future disciples, or future Talmidim. He said that they would be one as you, Father, and I are one, he said, that the world may know, right? That the world may believe and know that he is who he is. So that oneness is what's crucial and key as far as the testimony. I love Acts 20, 32. God, I commend you, Paul says, to God and to the word of his grace. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. What's that able to do? It's able to build you up. The word of God builds us up, and it gives you an inheritance among the Kiddushim, among the saints. That's what we're all about at Kol Dodi. This is what we're all about. I want you to understand. So I haven't talked about this in a long, long time. So the word builds us up. Look at turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, turn with me there. but I'm going to start reading it pretty quickly. Paul is writing to Timothy, his younger student or disciple or Talmid. And as he's working with him, he says, continue what you've learned and you become convinced of, and knowing from whom you've learned it. You know, I'm your teacher, says. And verse 15, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. Now, translations may differ. But the sacred writings that are able to make you wise. Now, he's talking about the New Testament, right? What is he talking about? The Torah, the scripture, the Tanakh, actually. The Torah, the Navim, Ketubim, the law, prophets, and writings. He's talking about all the scriptures. There's no such thing as a New Testament yet. He's writing and he's saying, from early childhood, you've had a Jewish education in the sacred writings, the Tanakh, the scriptures. And guess what they lead you to, or who they lead you to? Yeshua, right. They're able to make you wise, leading to salvation. Of course, Yeshua is the word salvation with a hey at the end. And Yeshua, his name comes from that. The Lord is salvation. It's a contraction, actually, of the Lord and salvation. Leading to salvation through trusting in Messiah Yeshua. Then he amplifies verse 16. All scripture is inspired. That's Tanakh and Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant as well. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for restoration, and for training in righteousness, so the person belonging to God may be capable, fully equipped for every good deed. So this is what is important. These are the things that are important to us at Kol Dodi, that we may know him. Paul says, that I may know him and the it's all about Yeshua. Philippians 3:10, my goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, to be made in the likeness of his death. I'm following him. It's all about Yeshua. It's all about him. Look at Isaiah 49. I think these verses are really great to read today in this context. Isaiah 49, verses 5 and 6 says, "So now says Adonai, who formed me from the womb to be his servant." Isaiah is writing, maybe Yeshua really prophetically of the Messiah. Messiah is writing through him, I believe. But he says, "He formed me from the womb to be his servant." And why did he form? To bring Jacob back to him, to gather Israel back to him. "For I am honored in the eyes of Adonai, and my God has become my strength." So he said, verse 6, I'm reading, could be as a question or as a statement, is it too trifling a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel? So that, he says, "So I will give you as a light to the goyim, the nations, that you should be my salvation," Yeshuati, "my salvation to the," how far? "Ends of the earth," to the ends of the earth, right, exactly. Israel and the nations, the Jews and non-Jews alike. But we know in Romans 1:16, the gospel, the good news of the Messiah is to the Jew first. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of that. I don't shrink back. I'm not ashamed of the good news of the Messiah. It's the power of God for Yeshua, for salvation to all who believe, to all who trust, but to the Jew first and also to the non-Jew." And lastly, Romans 11, look over there, Romans 11, we'll just, last thing we'll read here, besides Genesis, Romans 11, verse 25 through 27, very important also in who we are at Kol Dodi. It says, verse 25, Paul says, "I don't want you, my brothers and sisters, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own eyes, that a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness," just partial, "but until the fullness of the nations," or the Gentiles, "has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." It's going to happen. It's going to happen in fullness. The salvation of the Jewish people, largely, like David shared earlier, it's already happening. Things are changing. We are in incredible times, unique times. Paul said, you know, "That's my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved." He says earlier in Romans 10, verse 1, and of course 9, 1 through 5, his heart breaking over his people, our Jewish people, that they can't see who Messiah is in that case, those that can't, but many are, more and more. Now, we are called to love people. Who are we? We are called, I'm trying to use my iPad for the first time today. I'm trying to see if it works, if I can get used to it. So bear with me. But who are we and why are we? It says, we are called to love people, to share the gospel by loving, caring, and giving. I have it up there for you, and I revise this. This is from a long time ago, and I just made a few little changes in just the wording. But notice that in order to do this, though, in order to love people, to share the gospel, we need to be built up first, right? We need to be fed in order to feed others, right? Spiritually. In other words, like they say when you get on an airplane, you know, I know they do it on Southwest, you know, if something happens and, you know, everything goes crazy and that oxygen mask drops down. I guess it drops down. I hope it never happens. But they say, put it first on yourself and then put it on your child. But you got to take care of your own self first or you're not going to be any good for your child, you know, to help to save your child. And we need to be fed in order to feed others, you know. So we need God's word. It gives us life, the bread of life. I love the word of God. I know you do, and that's why you're here. And God's spirit, we need God's spirit moving among us to the water of life and in our midst and delivering us and freeing us and bringing us into God's God's face to face with the Messiah, with the Lord. We need a tribe also. We need a tribe. We need a people, a spiritual family in which to every one of us does to be connected and accountable. Not just connected and accountable. We need that, and we want that in our heart, but we have to be willing to submit to God when he leads us to where that is, whether it's Kol Hadi or some other place. But we believe in that. Then we need a mission to pursue. We need a mission to pursue, to bringing and being Yeshua to others who are without him. Now, God will do this, and we will do this. It's both. You know, it's not one or the other. Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, but it's not only God doing. He says, I labored harder than all they, but then he says, I worked harder than everyone else, but he says, not I, it was the grace of God working through me. It's both. It's like Psalm 127 says, you know, he says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. So God builds a house without any human beings at all, right? Of course not. He uses us to do it, we do it, but he's the one doing it. And if it's not him behind it, if it's not him doing it, then it won't stand, you know. Paul says that, you know, unless the watchman stands, watches, lest the Lord watches over the house, the watchman stands over it in guard in vain, Psalm 127, verse 1. Or Paul says it this way, he says, we're co-laborers with God, 1 Corinthians 3:9, 2 Corinthians 6:1, co-workers with the Lord. He says, I planted in another place, 1 Corinthians 3, actually, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. But God, it's God. So we see it in the early Messianic Jewish community in the book of Acts. We see in Acts chapter 2, we're not going to turn there now, but you can read it on your own. At the end of Acts chapter 2, it says they were, and then it says God was. The Lord did this, they were, then the Lord did this. They were devoting themselves to prayer, and they began selling and sharing things, and they continued with one mind. They were sharing meals, and fear lay upon. Then it says, "And fear lay upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were happening through the emissaries, through the apostles, and every day the Lord was adding to their number those being saved." God did it, but they did it too. They did their part, and God honored it and did what theirs. So, who are we, and why are we? We are a messianic community. And if we could have that next slide. This is another way of looking at this. Again, I did this years ago. We could always revise this a bit. And some that are more artistic, you know, I welcome your help, seriously, to redesign things. But we are a messianic community. We're individuals drawn together out of a mutual love for Yeshua and following him in a biblically Jewish way. We are Jews and non-Jews. Doesn't matter. We're one family. We're Jews and non-Jews. We care about people, reaching people who don't know Yeshua. That's why we are here on earth. That's why we're here. And that's why, do you ever think about that? Why, God, you brought me to know you. I know it hit me at certain times, that light one. You say, Lord, you found me. I wasn't looking for you, like Isaiah 65 says, he found me. And why did you still leave me here? It's obviously for others, so that I can be, you can use me to reach others. And, anyway, that's why we're here at service today, even. That's why we're here, for God to equip us. We love God's word. We love our traditions, but we love Yeshua more than our traditions. We're called to be in covenant, as we heard earlier, in covenant with one another. We are, in other words, a team. We're burdened and passionate for our Jewish people. But we feel the same way about all people who are in darkness. I don't know about you. That's my fault, Nico. I got a scratch here. You got a scratch where the mic is, you know. Thanks. All right. So listen, we have a passion. Our heart breaks for our people. I don't know about you, but I mean, like Paul says in Romans 9, you know, our heart breaks and we pray for our people to see. When I meet our people and we share and we realize they have certain cases, no notion of who the real Yeshua is, who God, you know, what we really, but you know what, it's not just our people. When I meet someone from a different culture and a different language and a different, and I realize they've never ever heard the gospel, they never really understood it, they haven't met someone up close and really know someone that, you know, they haven't had that. I know I did until I was in high school, as a junior in high school, no one ever shared Yeshua with me. I never heard, and that was in the Northeast, so it's a little different, you know. But you know, really, I never had. And imagine, but doesn't your heart break, you know? And you pray for those people, and you say, I don't care what. They need the Lord, you know? They're in darkness. As Messianic Jews and Gentiles, we stand shoulder to shoulder with Israel. Many Jews in Israel and around the world are uneasy about the January 15th upcoming, it's in 3 days, the upcoming Paris Summit of 70 Nations, an international conference on Middle East peace, which, try not to roll my eyes too much, Kerry is going to attend. He plans to attend. And this after he recently gave a 70-minute speech devoted solely to the conflict just days after our administration chose to abstain from a UN Security Council vote condemning Israel's settlements, which declared Jerusalem occupied territory. So pray for that. That's coming up in just a few days. And many Jews around the world. Tomorrow at the summit?
It's like in 12 hours, yeah.
Oh, really? Thank you. Sorry. Oh, really? Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. So Genesis 48. Look at Genesis 48. This is in the Parsha. I want you to see something here. Then Genesis 48. Verse 11 is the verse I want you to focus on, but we'll read verses 8 through 11. He says, "Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, 'Who are these?' Joseph said to his father, 'They're my sons whom God has given me here.' Then he said, 'Please bring them here to me so that I may bless them.' Now Israel's eyes had grown heavy with old age and he could not see. So he brought them near to him and he kissed them and hugged them." Verse 11, "Then Israel said to Joseph," Israel or Jacob, his new name, Yisrael, but Yaakov, his original name, of course. "He said to Joseph, his son," he said, "'to see your face I didn't expect. And look, God has let me see your offspring as well.'" What a beautiful verse. Joseph learns that his father Jacob is sick and closing in on death, and so he goes to visit him with his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob says to Joseph here, it says, Re'o panecha lo pilalti. I never expected to see your face. The Hebrew would read, "Seeing your face never came together in my mind." In other words, it never occurred to me. Rashi says, pilalti, let's say pilalti. It's an expression of thinking. And yeah, it's up there at the top. Expression of thinking. In other words, it could also translate it, because pilal can mean prayer. I did not pray. I didn't intercede. I had utterly resigned myself to the thought that you were torn in pieces by wild beasts. And one never prays for what he thinks to be non-existent. So let's translate it for us. Let's apply it to us. We think something is dead, so we stop praying about it. We used to hope for our loved one's salvation, but we finally gave up and stopped praying, perhaps. We used to believe God for a promise he'd given. He'd given you a promise. And you used to trust him for it and be excited about it. But maybe it's for healing for your body or mind, or for deliverance from an addiction, or for a companion in life, or for a great job or an educational opportunity or some success, a great success in your field. But you lost hope at some point. You stopped praying. We used to look for God to restore our lost son or daughter or interceding, but at some point we stopped praying, ceased trusting, and finally accepted the fact that Joseph, he's dead, he's gone. I just have to accept it. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. He's not gone. He's alive. Joseph's alive still. That's the case. They'd been apart, I think, 22 years. He said, I never expected to see you. And now, and then he says, "Vehine hira oti Elohim." And look, or I would say, hine can mean, wow, you know, surprise. God has let me see. God, let me see. He said, not only you, but your offspring as well. Gam et zarecha, your offspring, your seed as well. Jacob lived to see Joseph's children, and according to Jewish tradition, rabbinic tradition, even his grandchildren. So God's grace was much more, like Romans 5 says three times, 15, 17, and 20, much more the grace of God, much more. You know, my father was a great man. He was my hero. My mother was a great woman, also my hero. And I remember my dad saying toward the end of his life, and by the way, that doesn't mean they didn't have problems and a difficult marriage at times, and you know, and for sure, and but they're my heroes. And I remember my dad saying toward the end of his life, in his early 80s, I remember saying, I never expected to live this long. So he would say it several times. I'd be with him, go to visit him. And he was a retired professor, university professor, was very active in the civil rights, always active changing things. And I remember him saying, he said, I never expected to live this long, you know. He was just grateful. And listen, I'm grateful, and I hope you're grateful. I'll say, I never expected to still be here now, to have a wife who's devoted to me, and she's devoted to the Lord first, and that's why she is. To have four amazing children, their spouses, and three incredible grandchildren, and a caring and prayerful mother-in-law, a godly mother-in-law. She's in Florida, by the way, right now. She'll be back soon, with us soon. A wonderful congregational family. A great affiliation of fellow rabbis in the IAMCS. To live in Nashville. To have my health. On and off sometimes, but I still have it. And a hobby that keeps me active. Listen, so this is the way I want to think, and I want you to think the same way. I have the best wife. My wife is the best. I have the best children. I have the best, and I mean that. I don't care what it looks like now. I have the best, and this I do feel just as much of. I have the best congregation. I love our congregation, our spiritual family. I love Kol Adi. I love our family, the people, the friends that we have here, and a growing family, and God continues to build and add. I love our city. I love being in Nashville. I don't want to live anywhere else. I love Nashville. I really do. Maybe Israel, but you know. But I love being here. I really do. And I want to stay here. You have much to be grateful for. Listen, you are alive on January 14th. It is January 14th, right? January 14th, 2017. I wrote this one. I nearly personally died a few years ago in India, you know. When I was recently at this rabbi's conference, several came up to me and said, you almost died. We remember really praying for you, interceding. It was serious. And I forget sometimes how serious it was. I was gone. It was it. But God had given me more time. You may have what someone else doesn't have, and you may not have what someone else has, but you have much. Every one of you here, each of us has much. You have what you have. 1 Timothy 6, 8, 6 through 8. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it. But having food and clothing, with these things we'll be content. Do you have food? Do you have clothing? I hope so. Be content, he says. Hebrews 13:5, love this verse. Keep your lifestyle free from the love of money. Not doesn't mean money's bad, but the love of it, that you live for money. And be content with what you have. For God himself has said, I will, anyone complete it? Never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, and I believe it's a double or triple negative in the Greek. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I won't abandon you. So we, in other words, God's said, the writer of the Hebrews, the writer to Messianic Jews, if you will, saying, we have him. We have God. We're content. If I have, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, there's nothing I desire on the earth. Psalm 73:25 would be another way of saying it. No matter what my path has been, however frustrating, however filled with disappointment, however many failures, I can choose to trust the one who will bring me out of the furnace as gold if I surrender my life in entirely to him. Job 23 says that. Job 23, verses 8 through 10. Jot it down. You don't have to read there now because I want to bring this to a close. But he shows his frustrations, his confusion. He's saying, if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I can't find him. I don't find him. When he's in the north, I can't perceive him. When he turns south, I don't see him. Verse 10, yet he knows the way that I take. When he's tested me, I will come out as gold. I'll come out as gold. I love it. It even goes further. Beautiful verses, Job 23. Listen, be grateful. I never expected to see your face. I never expected to see your face, Jacob said. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far beyond all that we ask or think, all that we imagine. Paul says, I was born untimely. He appeared to me like last of all. I never expected, in other words, he says, for I'm the least of the apostles or the emissaries, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted God's community. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I never expected, but I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain. No, I worked harder than all of them. Then he clarified, yet not I, but the grace of God that was working with me. God working with me, said the grace of God, whether it was I then or they. So we proclaim and so you believe. So second point, and I'll have to bring this to do this quickly, but where are we going? And how do we get there? Where are we going? Very simple. We're going into all the world. Is that good enough? All the world, right? That's what it says, Acts 1:8. Beginning in Nashville. Did you know that that's right here in Acts 1:8? It says beginning in Nashville. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh, let's say Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, has come upon you, and Yeshua is speaking before he ascends, of course, here he says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Right here first where you are, right here in the center where you are. And then through all Judah and Samaria, biblical homeland, to the end of the earth. In other words, as far as you can go. Just keep going. Bring this good news. Bring this message of Yeshua. Don't lose the focus. Yeshua to all nations, to everyone. That's what we're here for. We will work hard at building a spiritual family here, a community, a tribe, if you will, which is in covenant with one another. We're a family on mission, to use Pastor Chuck Mingo's words, great speaker at the conference I just went to. We're a family on mission. We must pool our resources, each do our part, to be and to bring Yeshua to Nashville and the world, whether through finances, through the arts, through the media, social and technological, through medical and health services and activities, through creative arts and music and sports and sciences, anything we can use. And are we all alike? No, of course not. A recent statement I made in Facebook, I wrote, bubbles, we also easily live in them. Evaluate who you've had over your house or eaten a meal with this past year. Do they all look like you and think like you? We don't have to compromise our positions and convictions in order to listen to others and hear the issues that are dear to their lives. Reference was made to Atticus Finch in one of my favorite movies of all time, a classic movie, To Kill a Mockingbird. And he said, reference was made, walking in someone else's shoes. You don't know what it's like to be someone until you walk in their shoes. Empathy does not equal endorsement. But we can have empathy. Does God want us to have our own facility, a temple, an outreach center, to be a light and testimony to our community that we are lasting and not leaving, that we're permanent and not temporary? It's like flowers planted, you know, when you go buy flowers for your spouse, for your wife, you know, do you buy flowers that are, you have a choice, planted or plucked? Either is great, of course, but you know what? You buy things that are plucked and they're, you know, or cut and it's going to die. They're going to die in a few days or a week or whatever. But something planted remains. So we will be a light here, serving the lost and the lonely, the unreached and neglected, but we will also allow God to send us to the unreached in other nations, to the Jew first, and also to the non-Jew. Dr. Martina is going to share with us in maybe next week or the week after, one of these weeks, I forget, very soon, and we're going to show video. But Zimbabwe, where is it in Zimbabwe? It's a, you know the spot? Forget that. Masvingo. Wow. And medical outreach, we're going to participate in with Jewish Voice Ministries International in October of 2017. Amen. We're going to go for it, and I hope many will go. I just saw Rabbi Matt Rosenberg on, I just saw a picture. He's going back there, very soon. It'll change your life, and many are praying about going, and now you can be praying. As we pray and are faithful to serve in the smaller, closer things, God will open up larger, further things. That's a principle, right? That's the way God works. Faithful in the small, he'll give you greater things. But it's not up to him or her or you. It's up to me. It's up to us. We are echad, together, our team, our tribe. And who knows where we'll go? God will reveal it as we pray and are faithful in the small things. I'm not going to read it, but in Genesis 48, verses 18 and 19, Jacob crossed his hands when he blessed Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And the word sechel means literally understandingly. He did it understandingly. I think it's the one before that, Miranda. He did it, yeah. In other words, he knew what he was doing. But, God often does the unexpected. And Joseph thought that Jacob was making a mistake and that he didn't realize what he was doing due to his old age and his dim vision. And so he said, no, don't do it. Lokain, not so, my father. Don't do it. Lokain, which could literally mean, no, yes. It's like confused, mixed emotions, And he wasn't out of disrespect correcting his father, but he really thought his father misunderstood where the boys were positioned. So he told him to put his right hand on his head, the other's head, but Jacob assured his son. He said, I know my son, yadati b'ni yadati. I know my son, I know. I've known what I'm doing. I've known my son, I've known. And God knows what he's doing. We don't instruct or correct him. He knows what he's doing. And so for vision and growth, we need to have, as Pastor Chuck Mingo said, we need to have an expansive view which rejects smallness as a thought, as a way of thinking. That we need to have what he called a Caleb mentality. Joshua 14, of course, Dr. Don Finto, and there's work, he uses that. That's their group now. Joshua 14, 11 and 12, Caleb said, I'm still as strong today as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this hotter, this mountain, this hill country, literally highland is how I would translate. But give me this highland about which the Lord spoke on that day. In other words, I'm just getting started. He's 85, right? I think when he said that. Let's move on to the next adventure, the next discovery. Sing, barren one, Isaiah 54. Who has not given birth, burst into singing and shout, you've not travailed, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married one. He says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out your tabernacle curtains, don't hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right hand, to the left, your offspring will possess the nations and resettle the desolate, because God is able to do far beyond all that we ask or think. Amen. Father, we just thank you and pray that we will be faithful to do our part in the vision that you have for us.